This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue trekking through St. Mark with Death of the Baptist Part 2, Feeding of the 5,000 Parts 1 and 2, Jesus Walks on Water, and Healings at Gennesaret. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
When it comes to Christian hymns, think about it this way. There's a sermon in the song. These Christian hymns that have been held near and dear by Christians for generations, sometimes for tens of generations, they have a message that your ancestors are sending to you, their descendants. They are singing these hymns and continuing to sing these hymns all their lives, because they want the next generation to hear that sermon in the song. They want to hear what of Christ and his saving work for us is being passed down through these hymns. We're going to be studying a hymn, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us. Pastor Will Whedon joins us on this Monday, September the 13th. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hemel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. And he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Why do you say that this hymn makes a great stewardship hymn?
Well, I think in most people's minds, there are really two stewardship hymns that float around. And the first one is probably the more popular. We give thee but thine own, right? Great, great text in many ways, built off of Chronicles. We're actually going to look at the passage it's built off of when we study this hymn. But this particular hymn, Lord of Glory, Who Has Bought Us, or You Have Bought Us, is actually grounding stewardship in the gift of the Son of God himself to us. In this, as Dr. Jack Kilcrease would say, in the self-donation of God, in the self-donation of God to us, we find the basis for being able to give ourselves. And that is actually what makes this, I think, a stronger stewardship hymn than the other. Not to mention it's got a rip-roaring great tune.
So let's talk about that tune. What makes it great in your mind?
Well, it's such a cheerful tune. I love the joy that rings through it. It's interesting that when the author wrote this particular piece, she actually asked that her brother would compose a tune for it. And I don't know if he ever did or not, but that's not the tune that gets associated with it. The tune associated with it is Yfrodol, which is the Welsh word meaning good cheer. And boy, does it ever communicate good cheer as you listen to it. It's just filled with joy. It's by the Welshman Roland Hugh Pritchard, and he lived roughly the exact same time as the author of the hymn did. And he wrote more than 40 hymn tunes, but man, this is his most popular and best. And it's set to 100 different hymns. I mean, people are always using it because it's a really great, it's our 7676 doubled hymn.
The author, tell us a little bit more.
Well, Eliza Dykes Alderson, she lived from 1818 to 1889, was the granddaughter of an Anglican priest, Reverend Thomas Dykes, and she is early known for her gifts with language and particularly poetry. She wrote several hymns for Sunday school and missionary festivals at her grandpa's church. And then in 1850, she ended up marrying a clergyman herself, the Reverend W.T. Alderson. This is her most famous text, no question about it, Lord of Glory. She submitted it to Hymns Ancient and Modern with the request that her brother John Dykes would actually be the one to write the tune for the hymn. But when John Dykes got a hold of it, he didn't like the way the hymn ended up. And so he actually wrote what we have as the last stanza. So it's sort of a tag team effort between brother and sister here as far as text. And we'll talk about that, the way that the hymn originally ended, because it's a stanza that was present in our hymnal, the Lutheran hymnal, but was absent from later hymnals. It's not in our current hymnal. And I think it's a shame because it's like cutting out half of the parable on which the hymn itself is based.
So what is that parable?
Well, we're going to see as we go through it. This is clearly, should I call it a parable? Whatever it is, when Christ talks about in Matthew 25, how the last judgment will take place and he'll gather the sheep and the goats before him. Remember, he separates them as a shepherd. That's why it's usually called a parable.
One parable verse in a completely factual account.
Yes. a factual account of how it's going to be at the last day. And it's going to be this day of separation and judgment. And it's what Christ says to each of the groups that sort of forms the basis for the core of this hymn. And we'll see as we work our way through it how she actually does reflect very deeply upon that parable. We'll read it as we work our way.
There's one line in what will be the third stanza in our study here that just has always stood out to me. And I want to talk about it before we get into the whole thing, because it is kind of a punchline of this hymn. Can it be, O gracious master, that you deign for alms to sue? What is that question?
Yeah, you know, I actually had a pastor write me in this past week and ask, what does that actually mean? Because that sounds so strange. Deign for alms to sue, if you were to put it in modern English, you would say something along the lines of stooping to ask for help. Can it be, O God, that you stoop to ask for help from us? Seriously? And it's like, yes, he really does. Because he says through his poor and needy, give as I have given to you. In other words, he's putting his poor and needy people in front of us for us to be able to recognize him in and serve them. And that's at the very heart of that last judgment story in Matthew 25.
So when you drive through a city and you see the person at the side of the road with their sign begging for alms, we should say that's Jesus.
Absolutely. Martin Luther had, I wish I'd have thought to bring it along. He had a really beautiful devotion on this a couple of days ago in Day by Day We Magnify Thee, which is a really great book of Luther's writing. He said, if you don't have it, you really should have Day by Day We Magnify Thee on your shelf. And Luther said, the world is full of God. Everywhere you look, there is the need of your neighbor. Wherever it meets you, here is God waiting to meet you. And once you think of it that way, it's such a joyous way to look at life. It's like, everywhere I turn, there is an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody. And when I serve them, Jesus takes whatever I do as done to him. And I know. Everybody always says, wait a minute, you know, they're professional con men. They're sitting out there panhandling and making a fortune. And, you know, they go through the whole rigmarole with that. And I get it. I do get it. But a friend of mine, David Garner, he helped me get this, where he just said, you know what? I finally realized I just needed to do what Jesus said to do, and that is give. So I may not have a lot to give them, but anytime I have anything on my person that I can give, by the way, that's become harder and harder when your thing is on your phone or you're paying with your watch. It's harder to be able to actually have something concrete to hand over and give. But whenever we can, and we can be a blessing to another person, Jesus calls us to do that. He doesn't say for us to evaluate how they'll use it or anything like that. He's like, just, hey, give to the one who asks you. Just give.
We're studying the hymn, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us, with Pastor Will Wheaton of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. After the break, we'll hear and discuss stanza one, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us with Your Lifeblood as the Price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice, and with that have freely given blessings countless as the sand to the unthankful and the evil with Your own unsparing hand.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service, every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. the College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
In the Confession of Lutheran Dogmatics on Holy Scripture, I seek to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in three areas.
Dr. Jack Kilcrease, talking about his new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic series, Holy Scripture.
One, the absolute truthfulness of Holy Scripture. Two, the Christ-centered nature of Holy Scripture. And three, to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in a postmodern environment.
Learn more about Holy Scripture at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Stanza one of the hymn, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Whedon. This is Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Whedon, take us into this first stanza.
Well, you know, first of all, I have to ask, so when you hear the tune, don't you right away go, oh, it's that tune. I love that tune. It's always one of the most fun hymn tunes to sing in the church, I think. So, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us. Reminds me of 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the Lord of glory should ring in right away with the crucified Lord Jesus Christ. That's whom this hymn is addressed to. It's addressed to the crucified, risen Lord Jesus. And you have bought us. Doesn't it remind you of 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20? You were bought with a price, meaning the blood of Christ. So glorify God in your body. With your lifeblood as the price, that immediately calls to my mind Acts 20, verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, says St. Paul, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. That is a great, great passage for confessing the full divinity of Christ, right? It is the blood of God that has redeemed the world. Also reminds me of 1 Peter 1. Verse 18 and following, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for the sake of you. Never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. I love that line. He doesn't grudge it. He doesn't go to his cross like, well, I guess I have to go do this. When he goes to his cross, he is actually going willing, like we sing in the hymn, right? A lamb goes on complaining forth. So in John 12, verses 27 to 28, Jesus is really clear. Now is my soul troubled, but what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. He does this willingly. And he makes it even more explicit in John chapter 10, verse 18, when he said, nobody takes my life away from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This is the charge that I've received from my Father. And notice that next line, and with that have freely given blessings countless as the sands. In other words, with the gift of the lifeblood of the Son of God, what is there that you really think God is going to hold back from you? So Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? If you got the maker of all things given into flesh to suffer and die for you and rise again for you, you've actually got all things given to you. And Paul explicitly says that in Ephesians 1, where he says verse 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. And it reminds me also of 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Why? That we might understand the things freely given us by God. And he gives these things to the unthankful and the evil with your own unsparing hand. So remember that question at the beginning? Well, how do I know if they're really worthy of receiving this? I was like, wait a minute. When God gives out his gifts to us, he doesn't start by saying who's worthy to receive. He actually just showers his gifts on all. This is almost, a paraphrase of what Jesus says in Matthew 5. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Or Psalm 149 verse or 5 verse 9. The Lord is good to all. His mercy is over all that he has made. And that mercy is the theme of this first verse. Man, he has mercied us through the blood of Christ with every blessing in heaven and on earth.
That unsparing hand, we withhold from others because we fundamentally misbelieve how God deals with us. We believe that he is sparing in his giving. We believe that he is miserly, or that he's maybe even withholding things from us.
Yeah, we're afraid. And that kind of fear leads to holding on to what you have in the fear that he might not give you more. I think it's the exact same kind of thing that shaped the manna story, right? You know, they go out and they were commanded, go get the food you need for every day. I'm giving it to you every day. Go get it. And what did he tell them not to do? Don't store it up. And what did they do? They stored it up. And why did they store it up? Because they were afraid maybe he won't give us any tomorrow. And as a result, it bred worms and God got really ticked with them, right? And miraculously, on the day that he told them to gather up twice as much, they were able to gather up twice as much. And guess what? It didn't breed worms. It's a great, great lesson there in the story of the manna. God promises to give us our daily bread. And if we don't have that fear that says, well, what if I need this tomorrow? We're actually then having our hands open, like God's own hands, to give and give and give.
So if you would just generally talk about that, this is what only Christianity confesses about God, that God freely gives, that it is of his nature to be gracious, to be merciful, to give to those who do not deserve or have not earned.
Yeah, I think that's profoundly true, Todd, that if you look at every other natural religion, there is this desire inside of us to actually have God giving out on the basis of what we've deserved. We want to merit it. We want to be able to say, I've made God my debtor by doing this. And that's just not the way he works. With him, it's always this, he's got more to give than we could either desire or deserve. And he just keeps dumping down the riches of his grace upon us. And it's staggering. And when the world hears then that message, they immediately assume two things. They assume that there's got to be a catch somewhere. Nothing in this world is really free. It's really, you know, he's out to snag you in some way. And the other thing that I think the world assumes is that if he's giving it out to you, then it's cheap. It's not worth anything if it's so free. It's just trash. And it's like, the blood of Christ is anything but trash. The rich grace that pours into this world through the gift of the suffering and death of the Son of God shows that everything he gives us is free, is joyous, and it is his delight to do. He wants to give.
Stanza 2, Grant us hearts, dear Lord, to give you gladly, freely of your own. With the sunshine of your goodness, melt our thankless hearts of stone. Till our cold and selfish natures, warmed by you at length, believe that more happy and more blessed 'tis to give than to receive. Stanza 2 of Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us. We're studying with Pastor Will Wheaton of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. So, Will, what do you find here?
Well, notice that we have to ask for these hearts from God because we don't have them of our own. On our own, I'm not going to be cheerful about giving stuff away that I'm afraid God might not be giving to me in the future. And so this prayer, grant us hearts, it reminds me of Psalm 51, verse 10, right? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And when he does that, when he gives you the new heart, then you have the situation that arises like the chronicler described, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 9. I love this passage. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. I mean, you can't underline enough the shock that's running through those people when they realized, hey, look at what we did, and we wanted to do it, and it was a great offering to the Lord, and we are just so free to do this. It's wonderful. We don't have to, in fear, hold on to our stuff. And that's very much the theme that St. Paul was driving at in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, of course, when he said, each one must give as he's decided in his own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. You know the Greek word there, it's like from Phosolaron, a hilarious giver. Beautiful. With the sunshine of your goodness, melt our thankless hearts of stone. Yeah, we've got hearts of stone, and that's a problem. So like Ezekiel 11:19, I'll give them one heart and a new spirit I will put with them. I will remove from them the heart of stone, from their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh. Our hearts of stone don't actually feel for the plight of our fellow man, whereas the hearts of flesh do. The same thought is repeated again in Ezekiel 36:26. I'll give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit within you. I'm going to remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. This heart transplant is actually what we believe God begins in us by holy baptism. But then you've sort of got two hearts going on. You've got that cold, hard heart, and you've got that new, warm, beating heart that actually looks upon your fellow man, the heart of Christ planted inside of you by the gift of his spirit. And the key is to learn to live from the heart of Christ and not from the cold heart. She goes on, till our cold and selfish natures, warmed by you at length, believe. I think of Philippians 2:3. St. Paul said, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. That more happy and more blessed 'tis to give than to receive. That's what we need to believe. And of course, that is just a paraphrase of what our Lord said, which only is recorded by St. Paul in Acts 20, verse 35, right? In all things, I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So there's a logion of Jesus that's not actually derived from the Holy Gospels.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're studying the hymn, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us. I want to stay with that last two lines of this second stanza. That more happy and more blessed 'tis to give than to receive, on the other side of the break.
Have you ever attended a funeral and not known what to say? Or perhaps you did think of something to say and it was the wrong thing to say? Funerals are a regular part of life. As you age, they become even more common as your friends and family members pass through the veil of death. The September issue of the Lutheran Witness will help you think through funerals, your own and the others you attend. It will guide you through what to say at a funeral and how to plan your own. To purchase a copy, visit cph.org/witness. To learn more about the Lutheran Witness, visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Looking for a faithful Lutheran church in East Central Oklahoma? Welcome to Trinity Okmulgee, a friendly and faithful LCMS congregation only 40 miles south of Tulsa. Hi, this is Pastor Chris Teebs. Check us out at trinityokmulgee.org. That's Trinity, O-K-M-U-L-G-E-E, all one word, .org. See you soon at Trinity Okmulgee, Oklahoma.
If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those words of Jesus have been the motto of Concordia University Chicago for generations. We build our education on the Word of God, the only sure foundation for learning. I'm Dr. Adam Francisco, Dean of the College of Theology, Arts, and Humanities at Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for God's Word to become the foundation of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Declaring to you the whole counsel of God, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
We are studying the hymn, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, host of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Jesus spoke to a corpse, and the corpse listened. Jesus spoke to dead ears, and they heard. Those dead ears heard because Jesus caused them to hear, and when life came forth in the man as Jesus commanded, the young man was brought back to life from the dead. Whether it is the dead son at Nain, or your loved one who passes away, or you yourself someday, the voice of Jesus will call forth. When Jesus calls forth to you, you will hear his voice and come out of your grave alive, resurrected with a renewed body unto everlasting life. A little bit from this Sunday's devotion, from Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Minute Messages, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. Well, I wanted to stay with that last line, or the last two lines of that second stanza, that more happy and more blessed 'tis to give than to receive. It sounds there like there's true joy in giving.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, he's clearly saying that when you get in on the joy, I always picture it like God trying to play catch with us, right? You know, and he throws the ball to you, and if you just hold the ball, the game's over and you've missed out on the fun. He wants you to take the ball and throw it to the other guy, And if you're worried, well, then I'm not going to have a ball in my hand. He's got another one he's throwing right at you. And he wants you to learn to enjoy this, to play the game with him, that you always know that he's got more to give. And so you can take, and you know, you can't outgive him. Do you remember the beautiful scene that unfolds every in both the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000? You've got this same thing happening where they could have grabbed hold of the ball that they had, which was just the little bit of food, the, you know, the five loaves, the two fish, or the seven loaves and a few fish. And they could have held tight and not done anything with them. But Jesus says, no, let's give thanks to God and go give this stuff away. And when they did it his way and gave it away, guess what? They ended up with an abundance because he keeps on giving. You can't outgive God. And that fundamental truth is something that this hymn just is built on. And that's why it says it's more blessed to give than to receive, because giving is actual. And by the way, let's back off on that and say he's not talking about receiving. It is obviously more blessed to receive from God than for us to give to God. But he's talking about in our relations with our fellow man. In our relations with our fellow man, it is far more blessed to be able to give than to actually get. And I know we have a hard time believing it, but you know you've had the experience of it yourself where you've actually given something away. And when you've given it away, you're like, ah, their enjoyment of that made it so much greater even for me. You do it for your kids. You do it for your neighbors. You do it for your wife. I mean, you know, it's part of life in this world. And when we live that way, we do indeed experience, well, like we always do, that Jesus was right when he said it is more blessed.
Stanza 3. Wondrous honor you have given to our humblest charity. In your own mysterious sentence, you have done it all to me. Can it be, O gracious master, that you deign for alms to sue, saying by your poor and needy, give as I have given to you? What would you say about that third stanza?
Well, first I have to say, you know, your recording there is so magnificent. That did you hear that what the composer did was actually made a counter melody. So the men were singing a melody that danced around the melody that the women were singing. The melody the women were singing was the main melody of the piece, and it's just beautiful. That I think is actually typical of this, the exuberance of Welsh singing. And I once asked Dr. Hurl, so why is it that the Welsh have all the good music? He says, they don't have all the good music. The problem is that, you only know the best music from another culture. And so it always sounds that way. And I thought, wow, okay. But, you know, I can't think of any other place where the music just seems to sparkle the way it does from Wales. So I just love that tune. So this piece that begins right here with wondrous honor you've given to our humblest charity. I mean, notice the wondrous at the start. So the thing that is astounding Eliza as she writes this thing is that, would you look at this? I mean, our humblest charity, the littlest thing that we do, he says, you've done it to me. Well, of course, that introduces you right away into Matthew 25. So let me read the first part of the actual parable, the account of the judgment that we have here. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, oh, and by the way, righteous there can be translated almost than the justified, will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, Amen, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. There it is. You have done it unto me. She goes on, Can it be, O gracious master, that you deign for alms to sue, that you stoop to asking charity from the likes of us, saying by your poor and needy, Give as I have given to you. Remember what he said in Matthew 10, verses 40 to 42. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, literally in the name of a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. So Jesus there is very clear that even a simple little thing like giving somebody who's thirsty a drink of cold water, and I think you need to hear that in the name of a disciple, in other words, because that is the thing that disciples of Jesus do. They pass on charity and love to others. Jesus says, you're not going to lose the reward for that. I'm going to take it as having been done to me. Matthew 10, verse 8 also, Jesus told them, and when he sent out this is the marching orders for the 12, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. And then he said, you received without paying, give without pay. So give as I have given to you. In other words, you freely gave. So you need to freely give. That's the way it needs to be. Not giving with strings attached. Not give. How many times in churches the stewardship drive is, we need to get people in here to help pay the bills. You know, it's like, that's exactly the opposite of what Jesus is teaching and what this hymn is teaching, right? Give as he has given to you, freely, without strings attached, a beautiful free gift.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're studying the hymn, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us. On the other side, we'll talk about the widow's mite. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion. This new devotional resource is written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Matt Richard. Minute Messages is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September.
Logia Journal. The Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your will. Help us to what you seek to
see. The 21st century.
As my Lord walks the nation's seas, as my Lord of our time for peace.
the best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues, Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. Faith Lutheran, Waterloo, Iowa. Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Lamb of God Lutheran, Papillion, Nebraska. Mount Olive Lutheran, Madison, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran, Perrysburg, Ohio. St. Matthew Lutheran, Lamont, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Columbus, Ohio. And Christ the Shepherd Lutheran, Alpharetta, Georgia. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues, Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal.
We are studying the stanzas of Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us, a wonderful hymn with Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Well, we're here in this third stanza, and I can never pass it by without, especially those first two lines, wondrous honor you have given to our humblest charity, without making reference to the widow's mite, this woman who Jesus honors for her charity, even though her gift is as humble as it gets.
Yeah, it doesn't look like much, right? She throws in that little coin. And Jesus is like, that woman's given more than everybody because she gave out of her penury all she had. They give out of their, you know, their abundance. And so I'm always convicted of that, you know. How hard is it to write a tithe check, for heaven's sake? It's usually not any big stress to us, right? So Jesus is always saying, out of the abundance, yes, that's beautiful. But when you give out of poverty, that is a beautiful thing in his eyes. Now, can we go to the omitted stanza number 4?
Sure.
All right. Our hymnal companion notes that the very law-oriented ending didn't sit well with Eliza's brother, so he wrote the stanza that we have a stanza for, which is largely a recap of the start, and yet asks for grace in the second half to live the way that the hymn describes. Well, our hymnal, the Lutheran Service Book, chose to dump the original stanza 4 in its entirety, and I think that was really an overreaction to what is actually a very biblical stanza. You know, it's one that we even find mirrored in our church's prayers. For example, in the prayer from Lutheran Prayer Companion on the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, we pray, therefore help me always to be content with your gifts and blessings and to use them for the furthering of your honor, for my own nourishment and clothing, and for the assistance and service of my poor neighbors, that when I must give an account of this, I may stand unmoved before your court. Or, for example, in the Tuesday morning benediction, therefore, awaken me each morning, awaken my ear, that I may hear your word with a heart of faith and keep it firm in my memory, that I may incline my ears to the cries and supplications of the poor and not forsake them in their need. And when I cry to you in my anguish, hear the voice of my supplication and do not despise the groaning of my final distress. So listen to the words. Yes, the sorrow and the suffering which on every side we see channels are for tithes and offerings due by solemn right to thee. Let's just take those verses first. Channels for tithes and offerings, opportunities for us to be a blessing to others. The way I described it in my book, Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, is these are the Easter eggs that God strews across our way for us to discover how we can actually be a blessing to other people in these little ways. So 2 Corinthians 8, Paul speaks about this. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace that has been given to the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. See, They got in the hang of it. They saw, the Lord has tossed us this gift. Let's pass it on to somebody else. And it's like, wait a minute. You guys are rather poor yourself in an affliction right now. And they're like, it's okay. The Lord will take care of it. And off they went. He goes on, or she goes on rather, the next line, right, of which we may not rob thee. I will never forget, Todd, hearing Dr. Corby talk about tithing. Do you remember where he stuck it?
No.
He stuck it in the catechism under thou shalt not steal. And when you ask why, he went to Malachi 3. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with the curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be called, or you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. So, I mean, the prophet Malachi sticks that right in the seventh commandment. You shouldn't steal. And I do think it's also important, we don't have time to actually do the whole thing on the tithe. I wish we did, because if you start studying in a scripture, it becomes apparent this is not merely Mosaic legislation. It shows up before ever the law is given. It shows up with a free act of Abraham with Melchizedek. It shows up next, I think, with Jacob, right, when he promises, hey, God, if you're going to be with me and keep me all the way and keep me safe and bring me back here, I'll give to you the tenth part. So you get this free movement of giving the tithe happening long before the law. I think it's actually a piece of what we would call natural law going on, where humanity just feels like, no, there needs to be a return to the creator of what he's given. The next line is, debt we may not choose but pay. I think about Luke 11, verse 42. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. And these are the most neglected words in the New Testament. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. In other words, they should have been tithing the mint and the rue and the herb, but they should not have been neglecting the justice and the love of God. Jesus does not fault them for the tithe. He actually praises them for that and says, yes, but don't neglect justice and the love of God. And then the really scary line at the end that caused her brother to want to change the text, or at least to add something to the text. Lest that face of love and pity turn from us another day. And it's like, can you really end this hymn with the idea of Jesus turning his back on us if we haven't passed on the love to others? Well, I go back to Matthew 25 and ask, where did it end up? Well, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to me, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So, I mean, Todd, how does Jesus end up that little account there of the last judgment? It's really clear. He ends it on what we would call a word of law. Well, I mean, I guess at the very tail end, you get the word of gospel, the righteous go into eternal life. But the whole point of the second half is to stress what this stanza stresses, that the face of love and pity turns from us if we haven't lived in the faith that lets his love live in us and pass through us on to others. Think about Matthew 7 also, right? When he's wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount. He says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Or like Luke 6:46 says, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and not doing what I tell you? So that's a hard stanza, but I think it's a biblical stanza. I think it actually mirrors the second half of the passage that she's basing the whole hymn on.
We're studying the hymn, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us, with Pastor Will Whedon. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. LCMS Worship has produced free Hymn of the Day studies. You can find these helpful resources at lcms.org/worship, lcms.org/worship. After the break, we'll hear and study the final stanza of Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us. Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us with Your Life Blood as the Price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. Give us faith to trust You boldly, hope to stay our souls on You. But, O best of all Your graces, with Your love, our love renew.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue trekking through St. Mark with Death of the Baptist Part 2, Feeding of the 5,000 Parts 1 and 2, Jesus Walks on Water, and Healings at Gennesaret. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Is your church celebrating a major anniversary soon? Ad Crucem can help with customized products to commemorate the event. We can create church banners, ornaments with an image of the church or your logo. We can even make stickers to hand out to members. We also recommend Kelly Schumacher create a painting of your church with matching greeting cards. Visit adcrucem.com and search for Church Anniversary for more details. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Thank you.
The fourth and final stanza of Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. So Will, take us into that final stanza.
Yeah, I think it is beautiful to see the basis of the prayer is that exact same gift of the lifeblood of the Lord of Glory on the cross. We're praying for that, the fruition of that in our lives. And he turns to the three cardinal virtues, right? Faith, hope, and love. He sees in these the gifts that we need to receive from God. And so notice that first one, give us faith to trust you boldly. We have to always remember, I believe that I cannot believe. You know, as our small catechism on the third article puts it, I believe I cannot believe. And so Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And you see it in action, like in Acts 16, verse 14, right? There Paul is come to this place of prayer, and he preaches there in Philippi. And what happens? One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. So faith, it always comes to us as a gift of the Lord opening our hearts and pouring it into us. Hope to stay our souls on you. Think about Romans 8, verse 24. For in this hope we are saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. Who hopes for what he sees? You know, think about all of what Romans 8 is pushing you toward, the hope of the renewed creation. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10, to this end we toil and strive because we've set our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. And Hebrews 6, I love that one, verse 18. I loved how this summer at the conference we had, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller unpacked this one for us. It was glorious. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that's set before us. You know, it's like an anchor that we're holding tight to. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone, into the Holy of Holies and heaven itself, and we're holding tight to it. That is what hope does. But, O best of all your graces, best, with your love, our love renew. And so you think about how clear the New Testament teaches, Romans 5, verse 8, God shows his love for us, and that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. So totally unworthy, totally unfit, and he dumps his love out on us. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, faith, hope, and love abide these three. The greatest of these, though, is love, because that's who God is. He is love. 1 John 4, verse 10, and this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the wiping out, the propitiation for our sins. And of course, 1 John 4, 19, we love because he first loved us. And so we pray, oh Lord, plant this in us, pour out into our hearts by the gift of your Holy Spirit, faith to trust you, hope that is steadfast and sure, and this love, which is the greatest of all your gifts, which will enable us to love our neighbor with the love with which you have loved and favored us in Christ.
Let's hear the entire hymn, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us.
Thank you.
Pastor Whedon, your final thoughts on this hymn we've been studying, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us.
I think first thing we have to say is thank God that her brother realized you needed to have a better ending than that. And so wrote that last stanza to cap it off. And I think that the heart of the entire hymn is God himself saying to us, come on, guys, let's go play the giving game. It's so much fun. You'll love it. Come play it with me. And when we get into that sort of mindset, that playful mindset, we don't have the hearts of stone. It's a mindset that comes from a heart that is filled with the faith that his word alone can give. And as he speaks those words and promises to us, and we learn to live in them, we realize, oh, I don't have to hold on to anything. He's got more to give than I'll ever be able to contain in my whole lifetime. And so always the freedom to actually reach your hand open and give. And when you do, you'll taste the truth of those words of Jesus. More blessed to give than to receive.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. And he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Pastor Whedon is teaching this week on the death of John the Baptist, Jesus feeds the 5,000, walks on water, and heals the sick in Gennesaret in Mark chapter 6. Listen on demand at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Whedon. Will, thanks.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll conclude our series on the theology of worship with Pastor Peter Bender. We'll discuss Old Testament prophet Daniel with Dr. Ken Sherb and Uwe Simonetto. We'll continue his story about growing up in Nazi Germany and communist East Germany. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of his family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in Him, our true rest, because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear His word and receive His gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.